The second chapter, please, Philippians chapter 2, and reading from verse 17. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice of service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For this same cause also do you joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded, and who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own, and not the things which are of Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he had served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, as soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also shall come shortly. The thought impressed upon my heart is in relation to the characteristics of the people of God, the walk, the conduct, the innermost feelings, the desires of the heart, of those lives that are changed by the life of Christ, by the knowledge of the Son of God. And when I meditate upon this, and when I think of what Paul himself had to say of a young man, a Timothy, who was totally committed from an early age. He loved the Lord. He learned from the examples that he had, that of his parents, and coming into contact with a man like Paul, it had a tremendous effect upon the life of young Timothy. The Apostle Paul spoke of him in another place, speaking of being mindful of his in the 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 4, being mindful of thy tears. That convey a message to us in relation to the kind of person that Timothy was. The things that affect the testimony, the things that affect the family, that will eventually affect the testimony, the things that affect individual in the company of believers, had a tremendous, we oftentimes use another word, a profound effect upon his life. And does not this bring out to us in a very clear way the very innermost feelings of the Lord Jesus Christ himself? We think of the man Christ Jesus here, that it is recorded of him that he groaned in the Spirit. It is said of the Lord Jesus Christ coming into the scene, face to face with death, and what it had done in a beloved family, in a close-knit family, the tears were seen running down his face. And that is recorded, that Jesus cried, Jesus wept, and that in that dreadful state, death came in and spoiled the creation, spoiled the family. And there are many bereaved ones today because of the self-same thing, because of sin. The scripture tells us that death comes in because of sin. And sin is the sting of death. And the Lord Jesus Christ knew that he had to taste death in order to nullify the sin, and also to give you and I the power that we can live a life here in the in resurrection power, if I might use that expression, to the glory of God. So the apostle speaking here, he said, "And yea, I, if I be offered upon the sacrifice of service for you," what a wonderful thing! "Offer for the sacrifice of service upon your faith, I joy and rejoice in you." So what he was doing was, as it were, as a life poured out. He wasn't holding nothing back. He said to the saints at Ephesus, "I have not withheld. I have not withheld. I have declared unto you the whole counsel of God." And what a wonderful thing for those who are gifted, who are moved, and who are indebted to the Lord, and see it as their duty in response to the great work that the Spirit of God has done in their heart to offer themselves in the service of sacrifice, sacrificing themselves for the blessing, the development, the maintenance, the continuation of the truth. Jude speaking of the truth of that which is once the committed, the faith which is once committed to the saints. And how thankful we are to God for devoted servants who have given themselves in service to the Lord. For this same cause also do you joy and rejoice with me. It makes a difference when there is oneness. It makes a difference when there is appreciation of one another. And you see the two-way thing here. Paul is happy to serve. The saints are happy to have him. Glad for him. Thankful to God. Much prayer. Go up to God for such one. And how dependent are we, everyone, on each other, as we have the glorious thought in relation to the oneness of the body. The apostle said in verse 19, I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. He had no reason to believe that there were things that were going to make him sad. Faith believeth all things. And he left them going on well in the things of the Lord. And he was waiting and looking forward to hear how they were even progressing further in the things of the Lord, to know your state. But for the few brief moment, I want us to think again, or continue to think, of the young man Timothy. Paul says of him in verse 20, "I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state." Natural, no sure, no trying to pretend. One who had, something like of that fatherly care, like that mother affection and the sensitivity of the mother, that is something that is natural. In other words, it is God-given ability and natural affection, who naturally cares. And imagine an older brother is speaking about a younger man, that he has seen this effect of Christ upon the life of this young man. I don't know of another brother who will naturally care for your state. Life of Christ printed that of Timothy. The eyes was upon and could be on none other than that of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, one that God wants him to see, person that God wants us to see. that none other. Verse 25, if I just move on a wee bit in relation to another servant, and that is Epaphroditus. Paul referred to him as a brother, companion, laborer, soldier, your messenger. Imagine that. He speaks another companion in the Lord. And one that to Paul was very, very precious. Not only his gift in the spiritual things. Paul is saying that of this man, Epaphroditus, he is ministering. He is ministering to my need. And he says to the saints of Philippi, the very things that you failed to do for me, God is supplying same care to me through Epaphroditus. And he speaks of him being sick. And when you study very carefully, the sickness that was nigh unto death leaves us with the impression that is in the service of the Lord because of what he had put into the service of the Lord that had brought him to the state where he was nigh unto death. The Apostle Paul said that God is merciful to him, only to him. He realized that that mercy was more to Paul himself, because he said, well, if the Lord had took him, I don't know what would have happened to me. It does not mean that the Lord would not have fulfilled, the Lord would not have provided, but what a loss, as it were, it would have been for him. And every time our loved ones are taken from us, it is indeed a great loss. There are those, as I said earlier, who are still feeling the effect of their loved ones that they have lost. But the blessed Lord Jesus is always with us. And his promise, and this is guarantee, his promise, and that he will never leave us at any point, and that he will be with us all time. To turn with me to another verse, and this is in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11. 6 and verse 11. O man of God, be these things, follow after righteousness, holiness, faith, meekness. I jumped in out the verses that's gone before, but bear in mind, we have learned this afternoon, the way of the world, philosophy, they live for, the way they think, the way they act, their very lifestyle, we are exerted that we should leave the unregenerated world, generated world, to get on with their affairs, with their manner of life, and we should not be influenced in any way by their lifestyle. And speaking to Timothy, and this is a word to ourselves, and not just to brothers, but every one of us, that's the people of God, that he might know to flee from these things. Is there in the world that is beckoning to us or seeking to gain our affection, that as those that are renewed in our mind and continually so, that indeed that we will not follow those things, but follow after righteousness. That every one of us are exerted to follow after righteousness. Godliness. What a wonderful picture it is. People can see that we are different. Take notice. Worry at times about some of the things that they have to say. They are watching, and they can't help seeing And you heard it, I don't know how many times, one picture can say more than 1,000 words. And brothers and sisters, it's not how good a preacher we are. It's many words that we can speak. The life lived have more to say. It has a impact, an effect upon the life of those that are around and about us than all we can say. Something that is most wonderful. Godliness and faith. Trust in God that speaks of a shield of faith above all, the armor that we are called to put on, that we are to take the shield of faith, to have it every day. Whatever happened to us, whatever the devil might do to us, just like those fiery darts come and they strike against that metal, they fall to the ground and can have no effect upon our lives. That's what we can do. It does not mean that the devil might not get in with one of his arrows, but the shield of faith. That it is that something happened to us that our lives and the real our faith seem as if it failed, and that we don't trust God anymore in the manner that we used to. We don't serve him anymore. There are some that because of what has happened in their lives, that they no longer fellowship with the saints of God, to their own hurt, love, God, dwell richly in our hearts. I want to move on quickly to the last two words, the patience. Say that, and how well we know it, this is not a gift. Anything that experience brings, yes, we pass through. We might have to think that we have patience, but per test, we soon realize how patient we are. And every one of us know that we are impatient. We have to wait upon something for a few minutes, and we can't help but moving up and down. And people looking at us could see that we are not at ease. We are unsettled. We are unhappy. To learn and to practice it, it is something that is important. And we have to do it whether we like it or not. Patience is something that we have to practice somehow or other. And in James, we are given the example of the farmer. And he puts in, and you can't put anything. There is not one seed on earth that you can put in today and reap tomorrow. You've got patience. That is one word about the meekness. Meek in heart, says Jesus Christ. Learning of the Lord Jesus Christ, it would mean that we change. One lady singing, she says that Jesus, you are changing me. It must be that. There must be this transformation, be changed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Needful is this. Times it is lacking. If God wants to see it, God wants to see very much this of his beloved Son being imprinted on us, so we can better represent him here. Man of God, you, woman of God, follow up. Yes. Faith, patience, and meekness. Lastly, here should be pattern on the God-man, the Lord Christ. It's done. Energy of the Spirit. That's going to be if I might use that expression, of his beloved Son. In other words, it's not even that. More like the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the work of the Spirit of God upon our every life. And may we be true as the people of God walking through this world. May we be indeed true followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, becoming meek and like him, not to be those that are insisting on our rights. He had every right, and we remember his life here, that he gave it all up. He had every right. It was all his, and he gave it up and served God for your salvation, not mine. May the Lord bless and encourage us for his name's sake.